This is WSIU in Focus. I'm Jennifer Fuller. We're taking a look at the first year in office for the Trump administration. Today's focus on higher education. And in studio is SIU President Randy Dunn. Dr. Dunn, thanks for coming in.
Good morning. Happy 2018.
Absolutely. So a year in office for the Trump administration, I wonder what that has meant for higher education. Can we kind of start with that broad topic?
Sure. You know, I'm guessing if you ask chancellors or presidents across the country what their top three or four things were coming out of this past year, the lists would be slightly different. But as you had indicated this morning, that this would be the topic, it brought to mind probably for me a couple of things that fairly commonly, I think all of us in these roles see as issues that we've been dealing with over the past year. One of which, the first, you know, that I would mention, really has been common across the board, not just within education or higher education, but other agencies as well. And that has been the rollback on kind of the regulatory environment or the compliance aspect. Now, in some ways, this is not a bad thing, you would think, particularly if you're talking to a university president. Fewer regulations ostensibly would be better and make it an easier environment to work in. And to some degree, there's a bit of truth in that, but we've really seen some very big moves, particularly with regard to for-profit higher education. So there were a couple of rules that had moved forward during the Obama administration that really took on some of the bad actors in the for-profit higher education world. These rules were typically referred to as the gainful employment rule. There was another one on borrower defense, and given our time and kind of the arcane nature of these, I won't go into a lot of detail there, but they were basically protections for students and their families against those kind of worst cases in for-profit higher education, to really rein those actors in and provide some protections for the worst of the worst. What we're seeing now is moving away from that set of regulations, and the for-profit providers are really kind of excited. Again, I can't speak for them, obviously, but as you read the national press and follow that conversation, those for-profit providers are excited to see the fact that they can get back in the game. And that's a concern to me. There really is no protection out there that exists for students who may be looking at these various and sundry types of so-called educational institutions. And there are some good for-profit providers. I don't want to, you know, paint with a totally broad brush here. But a lot of those protections that we saw come into place, particularly in the second term of the Obama administration, are starting to get wiped out.
That came into effect, for people who are unfamiliar then. We're talking about those schools that had high debt,
yes,
for the students that,
yes,
finished, and diplomas that really didn't mean anything.
You've hit on exactly the thing, Jennifer. So those two rules, gainful employment and borrower defense, had to do with the points that you're making. Gainful employment was to try to deal with these schools that would prepare students for careers that did not exist, sham careers, at a cost that was typically maxed out at the amount of money that a student could get in loans. So it looked at a student's earnings coming out of these schools over the course of a career against what it cost to get that degree or diploma or certificate, and sought to provide some direction there, so that you could see that you were going to be prepared for a real career that had some basis to it over the course of time based upon what you were paying. The borrower defense was, again, really kind of a backdoor protection for students that had gotten fleeced by these for-profits so that they could get discharged from some of those loans. You can't discharge student loans in bankruptcy, for instance. So it was really kind of a narrow means by which you could give some relief to students who had maxed out on loans if they had been taken advantage of by a for-profit provider.
What issues then are we looking at going forward? If that was, you know, a couple of the big ones going.
Yeah, and we're going to watch that to see, you know, to see where that whole regulatory world goes. Before leaving this topic, I should probably mention, too, Title IX. and enforcement around campus sexual assaults changing. And obviously, we're all watching that to see what comes from that. Probably a couple of other areas that wouldn't be a surprise that have had a big impact on us would be concerns about the pulling back of federal funding for research. As you well know, many listeners know, the research enterprise, particularly at SIU Carbondale and the School of Medicine, is a large one. It's on a good year, tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of people employed by it, and we really see concerns right now as to whether or not the federal government is going to keep that level of partnership with higher education, and it's hugely important to SIU. So we're lobbying on that heavily, trying to advance them staying in the game. The other thing, of course, is what we've seen with the travel ban and not knowing what's going to happen on DACA. We don't have that many DACA students across SIU, less than 100, but the travel ban is a very big deal for us. So these are areas, too, where we're having to work pretty intently to see what the administration wants to do.
Certainly a lot of students and faculty watching those two
Absolutely.
Issues in terms of whether they can even go home for a visit.
You've got it.
SIU President Randy Dunn, thanks for your time.
Thank you.